لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أيها الناس إنما أنا لكم نذير مبين. فالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. والذين سعوا في آياتنا معاجزين أولئك أصحاب الجحيم. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول ولا نبي إلا إذا تمنى ألقى الشيطان في أمنيته فينسخ الله ما يلقي الشيطان ثم يحكم الله آياته والله عليم حكيم. ليجعل ما يلقي الشيطان فتنة للذين في قلوبهم مرض والقاسية قلوبهم وإن الظالمين لفي شقاق بعيد. وليعلم الذين أوتوا العلم أنه الحق من ربك فيؤمنوا به فتخبت له قلوبهم وإن الله لهادي الذين آمنوا إلى صراط مستقيم. ولا يزال الذين كفروا في مرية منه حتى تأتيهم الساعة بغتة أو يأتيهم عذاب يوم عقيم. الملك يومئذ لله يحكم بينهم فالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات في جنات النعيم. والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا فأولئك لهم عذاب مهين. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد, respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You have just heard the recitation of verses 49 till 57 of Suratul Hajj. The translation of verses 49, 50 and 51 is, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا أَنَا لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, that say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, I am a clear warner to you. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those people that bring faith and do righteous actions and deeds, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, for them is a forgiveness from the side of Allah, and in the hereafter there will be honorable rizq and sustenance for them. وَالَّذِينَ سَعُوا فِي آيَاتِنَا مُعَاجِزِينَ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ, and those people that strive against our signs to defeat Islam, to defeat the prophets and to defeat the cause of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ, those people will be the inmates of the fire of hell. In verse 52, 53 and 54, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the interference of the shaitan. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍ إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّا أَلْقَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَتِهِ. We haven't sent any prophet and any messenger, but then when the prophet and messenger wanted to read the revelation that was revealed to them from the side of Allah, shaitan cast his doubts in the revelation or in the recitation of the prophets. فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِ الشَّيْطَانِ ثُمَّ يُحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala nullifies the doubts that the shaitan has put in the recitation of the prophets, and then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes firm his ayat and his signs. Wallahu alimun hakeem. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is all-knowing, and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is all-wise. لِيَجْعَلَ مَا يُلْقِ الشَّيْطَانِ فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ وَالْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The reason why Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allowed the shaitan to put its doubt in the recitation of the prophet is that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wanted to make this, the conduct of the shaitan, as a means of test, as a means of fitna for those people in whose hearts there is sickness, sickness of doubt, sickness of disbelief, sickness of hypocrisy, and those people whose hearts are hard. وَإِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَفِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ, and verily the oppressors, they are indeed in a very far deviation. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَيُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ فَتُخْبِتَ لَهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And again, shaitan put his doubt in the revelation and in the recitation of the prophets, that Almighty Allah Tabarak makes that happen so that those people that have been endowed with ilm, with the knowledge of Sharia, understanding revelation and understanding the message of the prophets, they will know that this revelation is the haqq and for the truth on the side of their Rabb. The people of ilm, they bring iman and faith in the revelation that was given to the Prophet, and it is through the revelation and wahi the hearts become soft and the hearts humble before the revelation that Almighty Allah Ta'ala sent to our Prophets. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And verily Almighty Allah Ta'ala guides those people that bring iman, that bring faith, Allah guides them to the straight path. In these verses of Surah Hajj 52, 54, 53 and 54, Almighty Allah Ta'ala speaks about the shaitan and the mischief of the shaitan. When a haji goes for hajj, with the barakat of him making tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif, he all the time saying, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. Repeatedly, he presents himself in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He proclaims the oneness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And he distances himself from kufr, from shirk and everything like that. With the barakat of making zikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, presenting himself in Mina, and then when he goes to the plains of Arafat, he comes to Muzdalifah, he comes back to Mina. With the barakat of all this, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala puts noor and light in his heart. And it is through this noor and light that a haji now recognizes Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And that is why it is mentioned Al-Hajj Arafah. Haji is performing the plane of Arafah, but in the plane of Arafah, the person also gains the recognition of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. In the plane of Arafah, he now begins realizing who his enemy is, the shaitan. He makes tawbah to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It is mentioned in the hadith, there is no day that the shaitan is more disgraced and humiliated than on the day of Arafah. Allah wipes out the sins of the people, countless of sins of the people, and the shaitan feels humiliated with that. When a person comes to Mina, he pelts the shaitan and then he makes tawbah from all his sins. When a haji goes for hajj, he now recognizes Allah, he recognizes shaitan as his enemy, and he recognizes his nafs also as his internal enemy. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us about the history of the shaitan in the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala says, Kana min al-jinn. Shaitan was from the jinnat. Allah Ta'ala created shaitan from fire. Shaitan worshipped Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. There probably not a single part in the world in which shaitan has not made sajda. Shaitan has made lots of ibadah for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And among the angels, the shaitan was known to be ta'usul malaika. He was the pride of the angels. Angels were created from light, but shaitan created from fire were made more worship of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala than what the angels did. But then, when Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and told all the angels, usjudu li Adam, prostrate and make sajda before Adam. All the angels make sajda, illa Iblis. Shaitan didn't make sajda. Aba wastakbar wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused to make sajda and he was among the disbelievers. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala asked Shaitan, why you refused to make sajda? He said, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire. I'm higher than sand. You created Adam from sand. So why should I bow down from something that is more inferior to me? What shaitan did not see is that it's the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Shaitan uses logic against the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told to shaitan, you have pride, you have arrogance, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. You go out from Jannah. There's no place for you in Jannah and Paradise. Because you are deprived of Allah's ni'mat and bounty in Jannah. Shaitan decided to make its target Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and human beings. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala kept Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Ma Hawa in Jannat. And Allah Ta'ala told him, La taqraba hadhi shadara fatakuna min al-zalimin. There's a tree, don't go close to the tree and don't eat the fruits of the tree. That was the order from the side of Allah, exercise restraint. Don't go close to a tree. Shaitan then comes up to Ma Hawa and indirectly also to Adam alayhi salam and takes oaths to them and tells to them, go and eat the fruit of the tree. If you eat the fruit of the tree, you remain in paradise forever. And if you don't eat it, then you come out of paradise. Obviously, they wanted to live in paradise. So they ate from the prohibited tree, and that is when Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam and Ma Hawa to leave Jannat. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to the lush place in Sri Lanka. And Ma Hawa, she was sent to Africa, it was barren. Some ulama stated that because she became the means of telling Adam alayhi salatu wasalam eat the fruit of the prohibited tree, so she was then put in a barren land of Africa, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was in the lush land of Sri Lanka. Both of them were separated. 300 years, both of them, husband and wife, they cried to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the wrong that they have done. After 300 years, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then accepted the dua. Allah inspired Adam alayhi salatu wasalam from Sri Lanka to move towards Makkah Mukarramah. Allah inspired Ma Hawa from Africa to move and come towards Makkah Mukarramah. And both of them, husband and wife, in the plains of Arafah by Jabal al-Rahma, one came from one side of the mountain, the other came from the other side of the mountain, and by the mountain, the husband and wife, they reconciled, and that is why the Jabal al-Rahma is called Jabal al-Rahma, is a mountain of rahmat and mercy where the du'as were accepted and where reconciliation took place. From there, Adam alayhi salam and Ma Hawa, then Allah Ta'ala told him proceed to Makkah Mukarramah. En route Makkah Mukarramah, they came to Muzdalifah, and that is where they slept. Muzdalifah is called Muzdalifah because Muzdalifah means is a child and a sheet, and both of them slept under the sheet. Also, one should understand, while the Hajj is a great for Hajj, it doesn't mean that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Ma Hawa slept in Muzdalifah under the sheet, so the Haji and the husband and wife can share themselves in the place of Muzdalifah. They are yet in a state of ihram and they have to exercise restraint until that point. Ma Hawa and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam proceeded to Makkah Mukarramah, and that is when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to build the Kaaba Sharif. After some time, Ma Hawa, she passed away out of Makkah Mukarramah in a place called Jeddah. That is why Jeddah is called Jeddah, because Jeddah means grandmother, and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam is a grandmother to mankind, and she had passed away in Jeddah, and that is where is the qabr and the grave of Ma Hawa. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about shaitan, the mischief of the shaitan, and how shaitan tried to mislead and deviate mankind. Shaitan vowed, لَأُذِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْعَامُ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. It is because of Adam, because of Hawa, I will take it out from Jannat and Paradise. Now, I will make sure they are not in Jannat and Paradise. So I will lead them astray. I will inspire them. I'll make them do things against the law of Allah. I will tell them, violate the law of Allah. I will inspire them and make them do that. I will tell them to cut off the ears of the animals and sacrifice it in the name of Ghayrullah. And I will tell them to change the creation of Allah. Do such things to their bodies that is against the natural creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I will mislead the people like that, and then I will take them with me into hell and Jahannam. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala warns us and tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan is your open enemy. Shaitan is your avowed enemy. Allah speaks in Surah Hajj about the mischief of the shaitan. Shaitan didn't even leave the prophets. And shaitan tried to attack and contaminate the revelation that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent to the prophets. Shaitan is our open enemy, A haji, after performing hajj, he need to guard himself against the shaitan and guard himself against the nafs. And the first attack of the shaitan upon a person is to take the person away from zikrullah. Why is it when a haji goes for hajj, he dons the ihram and suddenly he starts making zikrullah. He says, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. He sees the Kaaba Sharif. All the time he's thinking of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He doesn't think about sin. It's because shaitan is moved away from there. So the first attack of the shaitan on a person is to take the person away from zikrullah. And the moment you take the person away from zikrullah, you don't think about Allah. Now you're not going to perform salah. You don't think about Allah. You're not going to recite the Quran. You're not going to think about Allah. You're not going to fulfill the ordering of Allah. So the first attack of the shaitan on a person is to take him away from zikrullah. And Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Shaitan will involve you in wine and alcohol. Shaitan will involve you in gambling. Shaitan wants to put enmity and animosity. And shaitan wants to take you away from the zikr of Allah. When a person makes the zikr of Allah, shaitan runs away. And that is why Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُفْسِرُونَ. That when the shaitan tries to attack a person and the person makes zikr of Allah, shaitan goes away. Shaitan can see us, we can't see shaitan. But then when two people are fighting enemies, they need to see one another to fight one another. Now is it fair, we can't see the shaitan, but shaitan is our enemy, shaitan can see us, so shaitan can attack us and we can't see the shaitan. So where's the fairness in the fight? This is a blessing for the side of Allah. It's good we can't see the shaitan. Because Allah says, when you feel the attack of the shaitan, you don't take on the shaitan. He's your opponent, you don't take him. He's strong. Just call unto me, make my zikr, and then I will fight the shaitan for you. وَمَنْ يَعْشُوا عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدُ لَهُ شَيْطَانِ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ. That person who spends his life without making the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that person's companion. And that person's colleague becomes the shaitan. So, the first form of defense against the shaitan is zikrullah. And that is why Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala repeatedly tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhal ladhin amanu zikrullaha zikran kaseera. That, oh you who believe, remember me abundantly. And with the burden of that, the shaitan will move away. The second form of attack of the shaitan on a person is woman. It is mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, An-nisa hibal shaitan. Women, they are the nets of the shaitan. When a person goes fishing and he wants to net the fish and trap the fish, he just casts his net, all the fish come inside. Likewise, shaitan also casts his net of women among the people and men just get caught in that. Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam had a discussion with shaitan. Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam asked shaitan, you make so much of effort in misleading people, you must have got a lot of experience in misleading people. Can you tell me the core of your experience? Shaitan told, how can I tell you that? You're the Prophet of Allah. If I tell you all my experiences, then my business will come to an end. But tell me something. So shaitan said, okay, I'll tell you three things where I mislead people. When a person makes a promise, I make him forget the promise, so he don't fulfill the promise. And from there all fights and disputes starts. Second, when a person thinks about sadaqah and charity, I make him forget about it. Because if he's going to give the sadaqah and charity, it's going to advance the cause of Islam and going to advance the cause of Allah. And the third, woman. I just place woman in front of him and my work is done very, very easy, my task is done very, very easy. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was an old man. He makes dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, oh Allah, save me from my nafs and oh Allah, save me from the shaitan. So somebody heard Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala making this dua. You're an old man, your hair is white, and you still making dua, then oh Allah, save me from the shaitan. Or save me from zina. So somebody asked him, you're an old man, where will you commit zina? So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, I may be old, but the shaitan that is with me is young. Shaitan is not me, the shaitan is still young, the shaitan is not old. So, one need to be very, very careful. Lower the gaze, A man is attracted to a feminine quality of a woman, a woman is attracted to a masculine quality of a male, and Shaitan mentioned to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, let a man and woman get together and the third of them truly is me. I'll make them commit sin and I'll make them violate the laws of Allah. So we need to guard ourselves against this. Stay away from intermingling of sexes. Stay away from anything that aggravates a person's passion and desire. And Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran again, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Don't even get close to zina. Anything that will lead our deed or a person to that, stay away from it. That's the second form of the shaitan attack. The third form of the shaitan attack upon mankind is to make people fight. Disputes. Rasulullah has also mentioned that fighting with each other, that actually shaves. And I don't say it shaves the hair, it actually shaves the deen of a person. When two people are fighting, the person when he's fighting with someone, his heart is not, can't be concentrated to Allah, to the tilawat of the Quran, to the zikr, to the salah. His heart is completely out of the ibadah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And shaitan makes him do it, it fights. So as far as possible, wherever there is fights and disputes, stay away from it, keep it away, so that you can again focus your heart, your mind, your soul to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One person met shaitan and got very angry with shaitan and told shaitan, you the culprit. You make everybody fight. And all the deviation that's taking place in the world, the fight, the disputes and all that, you are responsible for that. Shaitan is very intelligent. Shaitan is very innocent. How can you blame me? I will do nothing wrong. So the person says, he was shocked and surprised. Shaitan says he did nothing wrong. Meanwhile, Allah tells us that the shaitan does everything. Shaitan is a big culprit in causing fights and disputes. Shaitan then told a person that okay, I will show you the point that I am innocent. One person was making jalebi. And the syrup in the jalebi, Shaitan dipped his finger inside. And then took that finger and put it on the wall. And there was a small syrup of the jalebi on the wall. Shaitan told the person, okay, see, I'm innocent, I don't know nothing. Shaitan moved away. Now a fly came and sat on that syrup. The seed, so the fly came and sat on it. When the fly sat on it, then there was a lizard that was going around and the lizard went to attack the fly. The lizard wanted to enjoy the fly. And while the lizard was enjoying the fly, now there was a rat around. So a rat fell, the lizard is busy with the fly, let me get busy with the lizard. Let me get busy with the lizard, and then the rat then attacked the lizard. When the rat attacked the lizard, now the cat was moving around. The cat said, the rat is enjoying it, let me enjoy the rat. And the cat attacked the rat. The cat attacked the rat, now there's a dog walking around. The dog felt that the cat is enjoying it. So I got an easy prey, let me attack the cat. So it attacked the cat. And while this dog was attacking the cat, now dogs in one neighborhood, they are foes unto one another. They are enemies unto one another. So the neighbor's dog fell, then that is my enemy, let me attack that dog. Two dogs started fighting. Two dogs now started fighting, the owners of the dog came out, they started fighting. When the owners of the dog started fighting, then the friends, the relatives and associates of these two owners of the dog, they started fighting. And then the whole town started fighting. And over a period of time, this escalated into a war. And for hundreds of years, a war took place. It all started off with the syrup that was on the wall. That's what shaitan makes a person do. The shaitan instigates, and then we take it on. So we need to guard ourselves from the effects of the shaitan, and we need to guard ourselves from how the shaitan misleads and deviates a person. Another form of the shaitan attack on a person is a fight and dispute between the husband and wife. It is mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every night the shaitan, every day the shaitan places is thrown in the center of the sea. Now shaitan got many, many followers. Shaitan got many small shaitans to work for it. You get a big shaitan, you get a small shaitan. So the shaitan then takes an account of all the small shaitans. What have you done? What have you done? What have you done? So one person tells his leader shaitan, I have caused a fight between two people. Say, oh good, but nothing unique. I made one person cheat. Okay, good, nothing too unique. I have made somebody defraud someone in the business. Okay, good, but nothing so unique. So shaitan listens to all the shaitan's accounts of how they misled people and deviated people, until one shaitan comes and says that I've heard about a dispute between a husband and wife, and they're about to separate, and I brought it to a point where they've already separated. I kept on instigating, and I kept on telling things to the husband, telling things to the wife, and I brought effected a separation between the two. So shaitan gets so happy, shaitan actually wakes up and it embraces the small shaitan and says, yeah, you are the one that has done something unique. Remember when the husband and wife have disputes and fights, and then when they separate, it's not only them suffering the consequences, children suffer the consequences. And not only they fight, then after families get involved and they fight, and so much of enmity and animosity takes place among so many people just because of the husband and wife fighting. And this is again instigated by the shaitan. So we need to guard ourselves and protect ourselves from that. Shaitan's greatest target of a person is at the time of death, at the time of maut. Shaitan knows, shaitan wants to rob a person from the iman of the person. Shaitan is going to hell, and shaitan wants many, many companions to join him to go into hell. So when a person dies in a state of iman, shaitan has lost a client. The person is going to Jannat and paradise. And the most important thing is for us to guard ourselves, our iman, at the time of maut and the time of death. Shaitan wants to rob us of our iman. And that's a very crucial point. It is mentioned in the hadith, when a person in the state of sakarat, shaitan comes in the form of the mother. Shaitan comes in the form of the father. Shaitan comes in the form of some very close friend and associate, and says to a person, you know how close I am to you. I'm your mother, I'm your father. Take my advice. You want to go into paradise? Become a Christian. You want to go into paradise? Become a Jew. Move away from Islam. You won't go into paradise. Shaitan will make every possible effort to rob the person of the passport of going to Jannat and paradise, and that is deen and iman. If a person is weak in his iman, Allah forbid, the person will move away from the holy Islam, and instead of dying in a Muslim, he died in a state of kufar. Allah save us and Allah protect us. It's a very, very difficult time. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, such a great alim, such a great scholar of his time. It is mentioned that when he had passed away, then just by looking at his janazah, 25,000 non-Muslims look at his janazah and accepted Islam. Such a great alim. He was on his dying bed. And when a person is about to die, you make talqeen for the person. It is mentioned in the hadith in Tirmidhi in Kitabu Janais, لَقْمِنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That make talqeen and remind the person of La ilaha illallah. Recite La ilaha illallah as much as you can in front of a dying person. And when the person recites the La ilaha illallah, then you stop. So the sons of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal were around him, and they were making talqeen of the kalima La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. The great Imam, instead of saying La ilaha illallah, he's saying La, 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 La. The sons were worried. Our father, such a great jurist, and he has struggled so much for the cause of Islam, he does not read the kalima. What is happening? They all were very worried. He reaching consciousness, and the son asked him, that, oh father, we are making talqeen of the kalima, we are saying to you to read La ilaha illallah, you are saying La, 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 no? He said, I'm not saying no, I'm not saying La, reading the kalima. Shaitan was coming to me at that time and telling to me that, oh Ahmad, oh Imam, you have freed yourself from my clutches. You have freed yourself from me. So I was responding to the shaitan, I was telling the shaitan, no, la, I'm not free from you right until I breathe my last in the state of iman and with La ilaha illallah. Imam Razi rahmatullah, a great philosopher, he wrote in a book showing the existence of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and proving the existence of Almighty Allah and the oneness of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Tawheed. He was on his dying bed. Shaitan came to him, and shaitan started telling him that there's no Allah. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi started giving proof of the existence of Allah and of the oneness of Allah. Shaitan broke that proof. Shaitan is very intelligent. He gave the second proof. Shaitan broke the proof. And that carried on right until 99 proofs. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi substantiated, and Shaitan broke each and every proof. And this was right in the last moment of Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi. Great philosopher's time. That is when he had taken allegiance on his Shaykh, Shaykh Najmuddin Kubra. The Shaykh was making wudu at that time, and he was inspired that his murid and his disciple agreed to a difficult time with the Shaitan. So he immediately took the water, threw it, and he said that, "Oh Razi, tell the Shaitan that I believe in Allah without any proof, without any dalail. I just believe in the existence of Allah and the oneness of Allah." Imam Razi was inspired with what his Shaykh felt about it, and at that time he just mentioned, "La ilaha illallah, I believe in Allah without any proof, I believe in the existence of Allah, I believe in the oneness of Allah." It's very, very important for a haji. When a person goes for hajj, you try to inculcate within yourself tawheed, oneness of Allah, and make lots of dua that you die in a state of iman and you die with husn al-khatimah. It mentioned in an hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to a sahaba, "Ala adullukum ala ma yirfullahu bihi al-khataya wa yirfa'u bihi al-darajat." Shouldn't it guide you to that through which your status will be elevated, and through to that your sins will be forgiven? Sahaba mentioned, "Bala ya Rasulullah, why not ya Rasulullah?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they mentioned three things. He mentioned, "Isbaghul wuzu ala al-makari." When you make your wuzu nicely and properly. Perfect your wuzu. Second, "Kasratul khata ila al-masajid." Take many footsteps to a masjid. Frequent the masjid. And third, "Intizarul salati ba'da salat." You perform salat one time, after that, look forward for the next salat. Keep your heart suspended to a masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, فَذَلِكُمُ الْرِبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمُ الْرِبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمُ الْرِبَاطِ. This, practicing on these three things, it is a need of safeguarding the boundary. Not saving the, safeguarding the boundary from the attacks of the shaitan. When a person makes wudu, frequent the masjid five times a day, and the heart is suspended to a masjid, then how will the shaitan attack that person? Such a person goes in the protection and the refuge of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Surah Al-Hajj speaks about the mischief of the shaitan. A haji needs to take cognizance of that and protect himself from the effect and from the mischief and the attacks of the shaitan. Lastly, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَزَالُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّنْهُ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمٍ عَقِيمٍ. Dear believers, they do not believe in the day of judgment, or they had doubt on the day of judgment. So Allah says that those people who disbelieve, they're always in doubt regarding Allah until the final hour will come unto them suddenly, or until the punishment of the day that makes things barren will come unto them. That is the day of judgment. Al-mulku yawma idhin lillah. On that day, on the day of judgment, kingdom will belong to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. In the world also it belongs to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But apparently Allah gives certain people certain kingdom and position. But on the day of Qiyamah, nothing will belong to anyone. Everything will be in the possession of Almighty Allah Ta'ala. Yahkumu bainahum. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will decree among people on the day of judgment, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. Those people that bring iman, those people that do good and righteous actions and deeds, they will be in paradise with all the ni'mas and the bounty of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Those people who commit disbelief, they do not believe in the existence of Allah, or they make partners in Almighty Allah, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and they deny our signs, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For them, on the day of judgment, will be a humiliated punishment and humiliating adab. May Almighty Allah Tabarak give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand the content of the Quran Kareem, to enrich and empower ourselves with the Quran Kareem, and may Almighty Allah Tabarak grant all of us the true spirit of Hajj and grant all of us Hajj Mabrur and Hajj Maqbool. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.